In your name, amen. Okay, go sit down with your family before. No. My cross was a gift from my parents. You don't get any more questions. Sometimes you just have to be the boss. Especially with them. They will roll over you. Okay. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I was saying, we have something special this morning, which is the baptism. Thank you. I've got like a whole cheering chorus back there, and they're going to fill in when I stumble. This morning, I want to focus in on the reading from James. If you want to follow in the Pew Bible, that's page 1288. We're going to work through it. Now, James, the just, or James, the brother of Jesus, was the first bishop of Jerusalem. The introduction in the Pew Bibles actually calls the epistle of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. And it really is a very helpful book on what life in the church is like. And it gives instructions on how to be a Christian. Now, James, after doing his general greeting, goes right in and starts talking about being tested in your faith. We're not covering that this morning. We skip right over that because I guess some people just don't feel like their faith should be tested. But what we get is the last bit of that section. He kind of breaks it down into the testing of your faith and then how we're supposed to be. So starting at verse 17, James writes, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Now, James makes a statement that for churchy people, it's kind of like a no-brainer. He says, everything good comes from God. Now, like I said, he starts off the section before talking about your faith being tested. And he says that there's evil things that are going to come into your life. But he ends it with everything good, everything wonderful comes from God. So you get tested, but everything good comes from the Father of lights. And I love this imagery that he talks, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. That variation or shadow makes me think of part of my job here and part of my work before I was here, which was video production. And in video production, we get to play with lights a lot. And some of the worst experiences are when you have really bad lights or really bad lighting for a video. And you can either get too much exposure, so the face is super white. I mean, I'm already super white, so we don't need any more of that. Or you have a weird contrast where one side of your face is very well lit and the other side of your face is in darkness. It's almost like a split personality. But the imagery here is that the Lord, the Father of lights, produces no variation in that light, that everything is perfectly lit all the time. Oh, how I wish that were so in real life. The other fascinating thing that James says is it's by himself, not our doing, that he brought us forth by his word of truth. And remember that the word became flesh and dwelt among us, according to the Apostle John. Talking about Jesus. And then he says that we're called to be something. We're called to be first fruits. And as we remember from the Old Testament, First fruits were an offering to God. They were set aside and to be used as holy. So we are first fruits of God. He made us that way. And we are to be holy. And we are made different. And we're to join in through that doorway of faith and baptism. Now, I'm doing a little stretch there to get baptism in, but we have a baptism this morning, so bear with me. So that's the last two verses of that one section. And then James goes all engineering. That's why I say when an engineer becomes really engineering. And he goes very practical. So in verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Let's break it down. Quick to hear. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Man, I would love to have a cool spirit. I'd just like to be cool. What about slow to speak? One of my favorite books in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 5:2. Be not rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. And then I think the one that most people struggle with, slow to anger. Proverbs 14:29 says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Here's my problem. I am half Irish and half German. One is a slow burn anger and one is explosive. So the explosive one goes off and then lights the other one up. So it's just anger. And let's be truthful. I like to talk and I don't talk slowly. And really, do I really want to listen to everything? I mean, I'm right and you're wrong. Come on. But you know, St. James is talking about the marks of a follower of Jesus. And we so often get caught up in trying to be right that we are as good as deaf to others and their problems and to what they're saying. In fact, I would go so far as to say that we have become a society of deaf people, more so than the deaf and mute man found in the gospel reading today. He had a speech impediment and he couldn't hear, and yet we have perfectly functioning mouths and perfectly functioning ears, and we do not listen. We purposefully make ourselves deaf to what others say. We are quick to create or to join mobs of angry people. We see this every day on television, in the news, and on social media. It seems that we are breeding hot anger and quick speech. And it seems to me, I've been contemplating it at least for a week now, but longer. But this one specifically, it seems that this is actually the purpose of the world today, especially online. Especially with all the things that we have to do to be able to interact with people now, we don't see others as God's own, as God's uniquely created children. They're just somebody on the other side of a screen. It's another person behind a mask. They don't matter. And they're wrong. I'm right. At least in my own eyes. But Father Owen, it's just online, or it's just in line at the supermarket. It's just some faceless nobody. It's not IRL, in real life. The problem is that when we start acting a certain way in one area of our lives, it tends, for some strange reason, especially when it's sinful, to bleed out into others. So we might act one way online today, and tomorrow we act that same way to our family members in our own homes. It spreads like a spilled cup of water. But that's not the only thing that St. James is talking about. He says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Okay. The anger of man does not change the mind or hearts of others. And that's really what the good news of the gospel is. It's a life-changing experience. It changes how we think, how we act, and how we interact with people. And if we're producing just anger, it's not likely to bring people in. It's more likely to push people away. What St. James does not say is that anger is bad. He doesn't say that. But he's referring to a specific kind of anger and where it's directed. St. Paul in Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." Wait a second. We can be angry and not sinful? This is good news. Here's something that tempers it a little. Jesus says in Matthew 5:44, "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Uh-oh. Sometimes I really like Paul, and I like Jesus a little less. Am I allowed to say that? Probably because I'm fallen. But they're both right. We are allowed to get angry about specific things. We are allowed to get angry about injustice. Now, that doesn't mean that we run around and start labeling everything injustice so that we can be mad about it. That's not what it's for. We're to be angry about injustice, but we should not be quick to judge what is or is not injustice. Our society has laws that we abide by as long as they're godly. The Lord actually reminds us that we should not judge others lest we be judged. So when we start running around saying, aha, that's injustice right there, that's injustice, I can hate that and I can hate that, that's not actually what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be angry about it and then give it to the Lord. Anger is not something we are to hold on to because it only leads to our own sinning. And what about those who are mean to us, are nasty to us, who hate us? Well, we're supposed to lift those people up in prayer. We're supposed to pray for those who abuse us, who persecute us. And why do we do that? Because we're modeling Jesus himself. And as St. James says, anger does not produce the righteousness of God. But modeling Christ Jesus does produce that righteousness. And we're supposed to be Christ modelers. Verse 21, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." St. Paul puts it this way in Colossians 3:8, you must put all these things away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. We're supposed to throw all of that away. And we're supposed to pick up something. We're supposed to pick up meekness. And meekness is not something that is truly promoted in today's world. But it's something that the scripture tells us is something to grasp onto. And we need to remind ourselves that Scripture tells us a lot of things that the world doesn't. And we're reminded that we are to be in the world, but not of the world. So instead of filthiness and wickedness, which is so often held up to be grasped after in the world, we're supposed to shun away from it. We are supposed to instead receive the word implanted, the good news of what Jesus has done. The good news that our chains have been broken, that the world ensnares us with, and we've been set free. Then in Jesus' own words in Matthew 5, he talks about those who are blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be one of them. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to be merciful so that I can receive mercy because I need it. I'm not exactly a meek individual. I'm kind of loud. But I would love to inherit the earth. May I be more meek. St. James continues in verse 22. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I think it's pretty obvious. Do the things that Jesus has told us to do. And we do that pretty good, at least right now. When you meet together, do this. That's referring to Holy Eucharist. We do that every Sunday. We come, we meet together, and we celebrate Christ's work on the cross by having communion. Baptize people this way in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which we get to do today. We are doing the things of the Word and not just hearing it. We're told to go and tell, not go and argue to the ends of the earth. He has set the captives free. He saved us from enslavement. That's the good news. There's nothing to argue about. Tell people. And as a side note, don't deceive yourselves. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how it happened. There is no such thing as a sin-o-meter. It's not a thing. Sin is just plain sin. All sin breaks our relationship with God. And more than likely, we'll start to break all our other relationships as well. But the answer is, we all need Jesus. And he's made himself available. That's something to tell. And by going and telling, by participating in communion, by joining in baptism, coming into the community, we are becoming doers of the word. And that starts here and then moves out. We all need Jesus in our lives. And that's what's important. And the sinometer doesn't function because I am no better off as a liar than I am as a thief. Both are sinful acts. Both get me in trouble. There's no, like, difference in weight. They both break the relationship. Now, St. James says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. When I was young, I thought this was the strangest verse ever. How could you look at a mirror and then turn around and forget who you were or what you looked like? Now that I've aged slightly, I might partake in a little bit of barbecue and get a little bit of barbecue sauce on the old facey. And I might go and see and wash, wipe it off. And then maybe 10 minutes later, my brain will say, did you really go in and wipe off the barbecue sauce from your face? And then I have to go back to look at my face in the mirror to make sure that there is no barbecue sauce on my face or on the shirt. These are the two important places, the shirt and the face. So I can now understand what St. James is talking about going and viewing one's face in the mirror and then forgetting what you even look like. I can't even remember if my face is clean or not. This is a problem. But we're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to forget who we are. So what is the mirror for us? What shows us who we are? Who we are to be? Well, the answer is Scripture. It's not Jesus. I'm sorry. But Jesus obviously is Scripture. The Scripture is our mirror. It reflects to us what Jesus looks like. It reflects to us what we look like in regard to Scripture. And it shows us where we're falling short and where we're doing okay. I don't ever think that I'm doing pretty darn good. I'm just doing okay because I'm on a walk with Christ. Scripture shows us how we're to live, but as soon as we turn away from it, we forget who we actually are. We're called to be Christ followers. So if we're not actually spending time in Scripture, then we're obviously not going to remember what we're supposed to be looking like in our everyday. This reminds me of a story about Archbishop Foley. I used to work for him. I worked for him for 7 years before I went to seminary and while I was at seminary. And Archbishop Foley had this great story about how Jesus changed his life and the way he viewed his life before and after. And he was talking about how he had viewed his life as a chest of drawers, and the top drawer was the Sunday drawer. So he'd open the Sunday drawer, pull out Jesus, and put Jesus on. And then on Sunday, he looked like Jesus. And then on Monday, he'd open the Monday drawer, and he'd look like whatever he was supposed to look like on Monday. And then Tuesday, and so on and so forth. And then on Sunday, he'd look like Jesus. He'd put on Jesus. And at some point in his life, I think it was actually over several years, he realized, it's supposed to be one drawer, not a chest of drawers, just a big drawer. And it's not supposed to be my everyday versus Sunday. It's supposed to be Jesus, period. And when he came to that realization, and it took time, but his everyday changed from how it was to how it is now. So instead of putting on Monday and Tuesday, he just put on Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And it's hard to forget what you look like if you're constantly putting on Christ. If we're constantly in the Word of God, then we are constantly reminded of where we're falling short. We're constantly reminded of the mercy of God. And we're constantly reminded that he is picking us up and making us into his children. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. A doer who acts. Not out of their own self do they act, but they act out of the direction imparted by the Holy Spirit. We don't do things for our own clout. We do things because we're called to do them, because we're supposed to walk in those good things that have been set before us by God. And this is really important. If we are looking into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and who thought that a law would bring freedom? I don't. And we persevere, we're not taking anything away from Scripture. We're not adding anything. When we do these things, we continue safely through our path. We're persevering. And we get a response. We get to be blessed for doing those good things. And as a note, if we add things to Scripture or take away things from Scripture so that the law, the perfect law, is no longer perfect, we're going to get into a lot of trouble. And this is why Scripture is so very important to us. This is why everything that we do is based around it. It forms us. It keeps us safe. Because our God, our loving Father, doesn't want us to continually fall on our faces. We generally do that because of ourselves. We have guidelines, and we are constantly reminded of what we should be doing. Not in a harsh disciplinary sort of way, but in a guiding, hey, I got your arm because you're weak and I am strong kind of way. Verse 26, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. I have a question for you. Why do you think there are so many people who say, oh, I'm spiritual, not religious? I have an answer. In fact, I have a really good one. So I went to a Christian high school in Bolivia where I graduated from high school. When I graduated, 85% of my friends were not Christians. They are the children of missionaries, but they were not modeled something that they wanted to walk in. That's a scary thing. In fact, I would say that I was not particularly very well saved myself. And yet the Lord continually drew me in. Why are people spiritual and not religious? Because hypocrisy. Because people often say things with their mouth and do something completely different with all their everything else. The fascinating thing, and I love some of these images, if anyone thinks he's religious but does not bridle his tongue, bridle is, if I remember correctly, now Kelly, don't fix me in this, but a bridle on a horse is to lead the horse around so you can kind of control them in a, we're kind of doing this together sort of way. Keeping it under control. And to bridle your tongue is very interesting because what St. James says, an unbridled tongue can deceive your heart. Your tongue can deceive what you believe. If you tell a lie to yourself enough times, you will believe it. There is no question about it. You can pass any type of lie thing if you say it enough to yourself. I'm not joking. You can lie to the government all you want. I'm not against lying to the government, but I'm telling you that your tongue is more powerful than you really imagine. And St. James, oh, I love James because he has some of the best imagery. Later on, I think it's in chapter 3, is all about taming the tongue. But he uses the imagery that the tongue is like a flaming brand. It starts fires and causes destruction like that. It's so awesome. And think about it. Your tongue can bless one person in one breath and curse another to death in the next. Talk about a powerful weapon. But you know what we're supposed to do with the tongue? We're supposed to bridle it. Another thing that we do with the tongue is this. We praise the Lord. Psalm 146, 7. Praise the Lord who executes justice for the oppressed. He's sticking up for injustice. He's taking injustice out. Who gives food to the hungry. Praise the Lord who sets the prisoners free. Praise the Lord who opens the eyes of the blind. Praise the Lord who lifts up those who are bowed down. And praise the Lord who loves the righteous. That's what your tongue is for. Build people up, not knock them down. And think about this, Isaiah 35. This is also from the reading this morning. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. This is all talking about what the Lord does. This is what your tongue is for. So what does that mean for us? It's a lot of stuff that we've covered this morning. We're first fruits. We're set aside. We're unique. We're called to be special. Not in the, oh, you're so special sort of way, but you are special sort of way. Here's something that I've been putting into practice this whole year. I've been doing a lot more pastorally things, and it goes against my nature. But I have two ears and one mouth. I strive to use them in that ratio. I listen twice and I speak once as much as I possibly can. I actually try and listen. And I'm careful about what I say. And I'm careful about responding to something that is hurtful or hate-filled. And a great response for a hot response is to pray about it. Take 3 seconds and lift it up to the Lord. That will curb your tongue more than anything else. Somebody starts something with you, and instead of firing right back, pray about it. It doesn't even have to be very long. Just a breath. Lord, be my strength. It will change your entire attitude. Slow to anger. Well, we're all working on that one, right? But we are. The more time we spend with Jesus in his word, the more time we focus on the gospel and what it is to be a proclaimer of Christ, the less often we run into our own shortcomings because we're not relying on our own self or on our own strength. And me personally, hot-headed Irishman with German blood, so we're very efficient at destroying things. And because I know that it's an issue in my life, I actually take steps to curb it. What else do? We proclaim what Jesus has done. It's just not a thought in our heads, but it's a very action. We become doers of the word. Our response should be like those in the gospel who could not stay quiet. Not only have our ears been opened and our mouth set free to be able to speak, but we're given life. We've been brought into a new family. That's something to tell people about. It's not something to hide. May we follow what St. James is teaching us. May we be doers and not just hearers. May we do more than just lip service. And do it well, in community, building each other up. Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.